From Spark and Anvil and Discrete Quest, this is Sortie the Set Curator in Chapter 1 of the Discrete Quest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. On the longest table in the Discrete Quest workshop, a marmot tween named Sortie unrolled a mat with two big chalk circles on it and started dropping acorns into them, one at a time, without saying a word. Two kids leaned over the table to watch. She had labeled one circle red and the other round, and she was sorting a pile of buttons, beads, and dried berries into it. A red bead went into the red circle. A round wooden button went into the round circle. Then she picked up a small red marble and set it right in the middle, where the two circles overlapped. "You put it in both," a girl said. "I put it where it belongs," Sortie said. "It's red and round, so it goes in the part where red and round agree." She tapped the overlap. "This little lens-shaped bit in the middle? That's the stuff that's in both groups at once. Nothing else fits there." She kept going. A green pine cone, not red, not round, she placed on the bare mat outside both circles. "That one's out in the cold," the boy said. "It's just not in either group," Sortie said, not unkindly. "That's allowed. Being in no circle is still an answer." She sat back and looked at the whole mat, all its little regions filled. "See? I didn't do anything clever. I made two groups, and then I asked each thing one honest question. Which circles are you in? Both, one, or none? That's the whole trick. Everything after this is just that, done carefully."
Sortie learned to sort before she learned it had a name. Her family, back in her home village, were the ones who put away the harvest each autumn. Root vegetables in one cellar, grains in another, dried fruit in a third. Simple enough, until the year the whole village brought in a strange knobbly squash that was somehow both a keeper vegetable and a thing that dried well. The elders argued for an hour. Cellar one or cellar three? Put it in the wrong place and half of it might rot. Little Sortie had sat under the sorting table, tummy twisted up, listening to the grown-ups get louder. It felt like the squash was a problem with no right answer, and everyone was upset, and she couldn't fix it. Then her aunt knelt down, spread out a cloth, and drew two loops in the flower dust. Keepers here, dryers here. She set the knobbly squash right where the loops crossed. "It's in both, so we take a little from it for each. We don't have to choose. We just have to see that it belongs to two groups." The knot in Sortie's stomach loosened all at once. The squash wasn't a fight. It was just an overlap. Once you drew the loops, the scary argument turned into a quiet, obvious picture, and picture she found she could sit with.
She walked to Discrete Quest when she was old enough to carry her own folding mat, because a place that studied patterns ought to have room for someone who thought in circles and loops. The mentor met her at the door and asked only one thing. "What is a set?" Sortie didn't answer with a speech. She unrolled her mat on the entryway floor, dropped a handful of pebbles into one circle and a handful of shells into another, and nudged a single pebble that was also a shell into the overlap between them. "A set is just a group of things you've decided to gather," she said. "These are two of them, and this," she pointed to the middle, "is the part they share. I can combine the groups, or find where they overlap, or find what one has that the other doesn't. I don't need to be smart. I need to be able to see." The mentor looked at the little mat for a long moment. "You belong here," he said.
Sortie's workshop filled up fast with kids who had jumbles they couldn't untangle. One afternoon, a boy came in gripping two crumpled lists. "It's the class trip," he said, miserable. "This is who wants the museum. This is who wants the aquarium. Some kids signed both, some signed neither, and I'm supposed to figure out how many people total and who to email, and I..." He waved the papers. "It's just a mess." Sortie knew that waving. She'd felt it under the sorting table. "Put them down," she said, and unrolled her mat. Two circles. Museum, aquarium. Read me a name. "Priya. She's on both lists." "Overlap, middle," he said, a token in the lens.
Next, Marcus, museum only. Museum circle, but only the part that doesn't overlap. Next. One by one, the names became tokens, and the mess spread out into clear little regions. When the lists were empty, the mat just showed it, plain as anything. Now count, Sortie said. Everybody in either circle, that's your total for the trip. That's the union. The kids in the middle, they'll go either day, so email them last. The kids outside both circles, she pointed to two lonely tokens on the bare mat. Those two never signed up at all. You'd have missed them. The boy stared at the two tokens. I would have. I'd have totally forgotten them. He looked up. How did you make it that easy? I didn't make it easy, Sortie said. It was always this simple. It just didn't look simple, all crumpled up in your hands. Circles don't add anything. They only let you see what was already true.
Later, when the workshop had gone quiet, the boy lingered by the door with the two lists smooth flat and one more question. When it was all folded up in my pocket, he said slowly, it felt impossible, like too much. But it was the same information the whole time, wasn't it? Nothing changed except I could see it. Sortie thought about the flower dust and the loosening knot and her aunt's two loops. Nothing changed but the seeing, she agreed. That's most of the messes there are, you know. They're not too big. They're just not laid out yet. She rolled her mat back up, slow and careful, and tucked it into her belt pouch. Any time your head gets that tight, crowded, too much feeling, that's not the problem being impossible. That's just the picture not drawn yet. Find the circles. Ask each thing which ones it's in, and watch the whole knot come loose. The boy nodded, and Sortie saw the tightness go out of his shoulders, the same quiet way. Years ago, hers had gone loose under a sorting table, watching a squash find its place in the overlap of two flower dust loops.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Sortie the Set Curator. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.